So, Cardiff, you know, I've been covering business and economics for a long time, more than a decade. Hundreds and hundreds of companies I have covered. And when I first started out, companies seemed like these kind of cold financial entities.
Not our friends.
No. But now I see companies as having this kind of life cycle, like a butterfly.
Really? A butterfly?
Hear me out. Hear me out. They begin life as a fragile little startup hungry for funding. Hopefully they'll get some money and start to grow. They get more money. They get bigger and stronger. And eventually, are you with me, Cardiff?
Yeah, I'm following you.
They go public. They start selling shares on the stock market. They burst out of their private company cocoon, and they take wing and open themselves up to investors all over the world.
I am digging how into this metaphor you are. You are so committed right now.
I really thought about this. And, you know, this is the well-worn path of many of the world's most successful companies. But, you know, Cardiff, life is a funny thing.
Yes.
Every once in a while, something strange happens. A company that has taken wing into the great world decides the great world is not so great, and then it crawls back into the cocoon. This is called going private. It's when a company stops having its shares trade on the stock market because the company's executives have decided they want to pay out all of their investors and just slip back into the chrysalis. And this part has always been particularly interesting to me, kind of counter to evolution. It's like they're going backwards. Why would you do this?
Why go back in the cocoon?
Why do companies go private?
So it's a good question. Let's ask the first question first, which is why do companies go public?
Right? I mean, why leave the cocoon at all?
So comfortable.
It's so quiet in there. You can get all your reading done. This is The Indicator. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. And we are talking about this, of course, because of Elon Musk's tweet. Elon Musk is the founder and CEO of Tesla, and he tweeted to the world earlier this week that he was potentially planning to take his public car company private. Today on the show, why people take companies public, why they take them private, and the sword of Damocles. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from ExxonMobil, the company that's helping cars go further with less, making cars more efficient, and helping to reduce emissions. Learn more at energyfactor.com. ExxonMobil. Energy lives here. Support also comes from State Street Global Advisors. Download Crazy Enough to Work, a podcast series with Elizabeth Banks about the bold moves mid-cap companies make to thrive and survive. Provided by State Street Global Advisors Funds Distributors, LLC.
First things first. Why do companies go public? There are a lot of reasons, but one of the big ones is money.
Duh. I mean, naturally.
Yeah.
These are businesses, after all. And going public means that all kinds of people can invest in your company now. And when you're selling new shares to the public, it means that you're also raising new cash for the company. And you can use that cash to grow, to expand, to invest in your operations and other things that you do, and just to become bigger in general.
Another reason, it can raise the profile of a company. They get to debut on the stock market, maybe they get to ring the bell, and it looks good. You know, like, that's a company that's going places.
Third reason is that if a company wants to take some risks, it can spread that risk around a little bit by going public. Bhagwan Chowdhury is a professor of finance at UCLA's Anderson School of Business.
They want to not sit on a hot potato themselves. They want to slice it into many, many tiny pieces and give it to many diverse shareholders so that each one is holding only the tiny part of the risk.
Just a tiny piece of the hot potato. And then the company can be bolder, it can take more chances. And all this sounds pretty great. So why would a company ever want to crawl back into the cocoon?
The eternal question.
Right? Bhagwan says there are many downsides to leaving the cocoon.
Yeah, the first one, quarterly earnings. They're like a hamster wheel. Public companies have to report their earnings every 3 months. Analysts make predictions about how much the company will earn, and if a company doesn't meet those predictions, investors can get really upset and sell their shares of the company. The stock price might fall, and everybody gets upset. To avoid this, companies need to earn more and more and more money all the time.
And that can be hard. Like, if a company wants to move in a new direction, if it wants to make itself more environmentally friendly or invest in some new direction for the business, it can mean less money in the short run. And that can freak out investors and hurt the company's earnings.
Bhagwan says a third big reason to go back into the cocoon has to do with all those people holding tiny little bits of that hot potato.
It is a control issue. If I think that I need to take my company in one direction, I need to convince my shareholders.
Shareholders. They're such a drag. You sell them some tiny piece of this potato, and suddenly they have opinions about the bacon bits. They think they own the place.
I mean, technically, they do own the place.
Technically,
right?
They do.
Well, they own a part of it anyways. But it's true that if you're running a public company, and let's say you have a bold vision for what your company should do, you can't always just push forward. Usually, you have to get the shareholders to agree with your vision. But if you go private, you buy your company back from shareholders, then suddenly it's a whole lot easier to make the changes you want to make as an executive without having to get mass approval.
But you can't just go private. You are a global butterfly with potato holders all over the world. They're not just going to give company stock back to you.
You need to buy out all these shareholders who are public. And usually you're going to offer a premium over the market price.
If I'm a shareholder and your company's stock price is $50 and you offer me $50 to buy back that share of stock, why would I sell it? I mean, I would be giving up my little piece of the potato, my ownership, and I wouldn't be making any extra money. But if you offer me $60, I'm listening. I'm more likely to sell you my piece of the potato. So when there's a rumor that a company is going to go private, its stock price tends to go up because everyone gets all excited that the company is going to buy shares back from all the investors and that they, the investors, are going to get a big profitable payout for the stock they own.
This, in fact, is kind of what happened after Elon Musk's tweet. As soon as he tweeted, "I might be taking Tesla private," many investors assumed that if they bought a share of Tesla, they would be getting an offer to have it bought back from them for a higher price. Soon. So they bought Tesla stock. The stock price went up just for a little while, though, because a lot of skeptics immediately came forward saying Elon Musk is not serious about this. He's just up to his old tricks and he's trying to drive up Tesla's stock price.
And part of the skepticism around Elon's tweet had to do with the price tag. Taking Tesla private would be expensive. More than $80 billion to buy back all of those shares at the price Elon named in his tweet, $420. This is an insane amount of cash. And so most of the time that a company goes private, it will borrow the money, or at least some of the money. And that can be a lot of money.
Usually there's a lot of debt financing involved, which means that you better make sure that you're producing enough cash flow to service your debt, because debt holders want their money back.
They want their money back. Suddenly, as a company, you owe a lot of money to different lenders and there's interest. Bhagwan says this often means that the newly private company has to start selling off some of its parts to keep money moving in, to keep paying off that debt.
And now, instead of shareholders breathing down your neck, you have a bunch of debt collectors breathing down your neck.
Kind of like the, what is it called? The Damocles' sword hanging on top of your head.
The Sword of Damocles.
Yes.
This is a Greek legend about a man named Damocles who worked in the royal court, and one day the king offered to swap jobs with him for a day. Damocles was like, "Oh yeah, I'll take that trade."
But then the king hung a sword right above the throne, and he hung it by a horse hair, apparently from the tail of a horse. And he did this to illustrate the perils of being the king, the dangers of being the king. And then Damocles was like, "You know what? I'm good. I like my job. You keep being the king."
Yeah, heavy lies the crown, that kind of thing, to use a different reference.
Yes.
Tesla's share price has fallen back down to just about where it was before Elon Musk's tweet. And now Elon is in trouble with financial regulators over potential market manipulation. He's accused of just trying to bump up Tesla's stock price with all of his talk about taking Tesla private.
You know, it gets cold outside the cocoon.
Sometimes it does.